Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and we will commence reading from verse 32. Coming to the cross tonight, and we're going to look particularly at one of the thieves that was crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ, and we take up the story, Luke 23, verse 32. And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." Amen. We'll end our reading to verse 47, and we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to your hearts. Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer as we come to his word. And Lord, we thank thee. We just thank thee, Lord, that we're here in thy house tonight. We've no other story, Lord, to tell but the story of Jesus and his love, that work on the cross of Calvary, sinners like me. And Lord, we thank thee for the many who can look back to that time and their experience when they came as a sinner to Jesus, and they proved the truth of that word, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And we bless thee, Lord, for that. And it's only our heart's desire, Lord, in this meeting, not that men and women would come and join the free church, but, Lord, that they might come to Christ and find in him a resting place, and he will make them glad. Pray, Lord, you'll bless us now by thy Holy Spirit, that we might preach the word as, "Thus and thus saith the Lord," and grant to each one the hearing ear and the understanding heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My text tonight is found in verse 43, and it's the answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to one of the thieves of the cross when he cried, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily," or "truly, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." This is the second saying of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There are seven of the sayings. It's a word of salvation. Salvation is a miracle. takes a miracle to save a soul. The sinner is spiritually dead and is raised to eternal life. That's a miracle. He's brought from darkness to light. That's a miracle. He experiences a new birth. He receives the divine nature within. That's a miracle. That's why salvation tonight is not of works. There's nothing any of us can do to merit God's salvation, to find favor in the eyes of God. Salvation is all of the Lord. And that is the experience of every converted man or woman who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the experience of salvation is the same for each one of us, yet the circumstances of our conversion can be quite different from that of others. I often think of the tabernacle in the wilderness. There was only one door into the tabernacle, but you know, there was many ways that the children of Israel could have came to that tabernacle. Some came through the valleys, some came through the mountaintops. Some was easier than others, but they all came to the one door. We think of the Apostle Paul, what a conversion he had. His was so dramatic on the Damascus Road. Remember, there's the voice from heaven, and there was the light that shone. And the Apostle, or Saul of Tarsus, was converted in a dramatic way on the Damascus Road. But then we think of his first convert in Philippi, Lydia. She seemed to me to be a nice lady, quiet person. And it just says that the Lord opened her heart as she responded to the things spoken of Paul. Just very quietly. Paul had been preaching, and the Lord opened her heart. Just quietly, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. Now, each conversion, of course, is amazing because it's a miracle. Maybe some more dramatic than others. Remember the night I was saved myself, just faced up with the question. If I was in a car accident and immediately was ushered into eternity, where would my soul be? Well, I had grown up in the church. I didn't know a whole lot of the gospel, but I knew this much, that if that was to happen to me in my present state, I wouldn't have been going to heaven. And that night, simply, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart to save me. The conversion of the dying thief on the cross is one of the most amazing that we can read of. Because here was a man, along with another in the Lord Jesus Christ, were uplifted on a Roman gibbet. They were being crucified. And it was at that time that he came to Christ. The very time when the Lord Jesus Christ was about to pay the price for our salvation. The Lord, first of all, had prayed for his enemies. And in this second saying, he assured the repentant thief of a place in heaven. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. And salvation can be as quick as that tonight, just where you're seated tonight. If you open your heart to the Lord and repent of your sin and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner, in a moment you can be translated out of darkness into light, from death unto life. We'll notice first of all his amazing situation. Now, when they crucified Christ, they put him between two thieves. Now, they could have put the two thieves together and Jesus at either side of them, but the two thieves were separated and Jesus in the midst. And why was that? Well, first of all, it was fulfillment of Scripture, fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 53 and verse 12, he was numbered with the transgressors. And at Calvary, we not only see the hand of wicked man at work, but also we see the hand of God. God was working things out, and his Son was in the center of God, the Father's will, and he was going to pay the price for our redemption. But evil and wicked men were responsible for his death. And they were fulfilling the plan of God freely and responsibly, but still fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. He was numbered with the transgressors. We read of that in Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Again, it was prophesied that the Lord would be crucified between the transgressors. He was born for transgressors. That's why he came into the world. He came into the world to save sinners. Remember, prior to his birth, the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1 and 21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what the word Jesus means. It means Savior. That was the purpose that he came into this world. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So he was born for transgressors. He lived for transgressors. And he died for them and with them. He was nailed to the cross between the two thieves. So his amazing situation began with the fulfillment of prophecy. And then the situation was one of divine providence. This was no accident. People would just said, well, that's just the way it worked out, that the Lord Jesus was crucified between two thieves. But, you know, there are no accidents in the world governed by God. It's of the providence of God. From all eternity, God had decreed when, where, and how, and with whom his son would die. It was no accident. And whatsoever man did was simply that which God's hand and counsel determined to be done. Read that in Acts 4, 25 to 28. And yet they were responsible for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet it was all in the providence and in the will of God. Because the two thieves were on either side of the Lord Jesus, then there was something that they could see. They could see the title that Pilate had made and put upon above the cross of the Lord Jesus. And you read in verse 38, "This is the King of the Jews." And when you study the harmony of the Gospels, you find that this title will read, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," written by Pilate. And someone has said possibly that was the first gospel tract ever written. And that's what was written above the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when these two thieves crucified on either side of the Lord, before they died, when they looked to the Lord, they would see this title. And that title told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. What did it tell them? It told them that he was Jesus, Savior. They would have well understood that. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He came from a despised and rejected place, therefore being identified with what the world would have called outcasts. And I'm happy about that tonight. He is the King of the Jews. He is a Savior who has a kingdom. So in reading this title, they read the message of the gospel. And each of these thieves had easy access to the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't far away. They could hear him speak. They could read the title. And as they did so, something happened to one of these two thieves. He was changed from condemning the Lord Jesus Christ to condemning his friend. Now, God still sets up situations in his providence for people to get saved. It's providential. This man was suffering for his deeds. And as we read in the portion there, justly. But just the day, the time, when the Lord Jesus Christ was being crucified, he also was nailed to the cross. And what providence that was. Because this was this man's opportunity to turn to Christ and to seek his salvation. No one is ever saved by accident. This is the way that God works. He sets up situations to give people an opportunity to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God desires not the death of the sinner, but rather that the wicked man might turn from his wicked ways and live. That's the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the great tragedies, of course, today is that people miss their opportunity. They can't see the providence of God in anything. They can't see the opportunity when it comes along that they might get saved. We think of Felix in Acts chapter 24. Remember, he had asked for Paul to be brought in before him, and he had a very good request that he might hear of Christ. And, well, Paul was the preacher, and he was preaching. He was preaching of righteousness, of temperance, and judgment to come. And it was a message just earmarked for Felix. And the Bible tells us something remarkable. It says that Felix trembled. So we can imagine this man, he's standing before Paul. Paul is preaching the word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in his heart. He begins to tremble. And he says this to Paul, "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Go thy way for this time." Paul, when I have more opportune time, I'll listen to you again. And that was his day of grace. That was the day of visitation to the Lord, to Felix's heart. And no one is in here by chance tonight. And this may be your situation, this opportunity for you to close in with God's offer of mercy. Now, we see the folly of Felix's words, because when I have a more convenient season or a more opportune time, well, what was more opportune time then? He had asked for Paul to be brought in that he might hear of Christ. He was hearing of Christ. He was hearing of what was wrong with him, about his sin. And if Paul reasoned of these things, he trembled. And so the Spirit of the Lord was working with him. And then he destroyed it all and he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee." And we read in that chapter that he sent for Paul the oftener, but it wasn't to get saved. It wasn't to point him to Christ. It was that he might get a bribe from Paul to release him from his bondage. And we never ever read of Felix getting saved. In fact, secular history will tell us that he died a suicide's death. So we have this amazing situation. And then we have an amazing supplication, because he's praying here, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And this prayer that the thief prayed is one of the most amazing prayers in all of the Bible. There's confession in this, in that he feared God. Verse 40, he said to the other thief, rebuking him, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Yes, the two of them started denouncing the Lord Jesus. And then something happened in this man's life. Spirit of the Lord was working in it. And then he comes to a place of confession. "Why are you condemning this man? You and I are suffering, and we do justly, because we deserve this. But this man," pointing to Christ, "has done nothing amiss." And so he admitted his guilt. "We indeed justly." He admitted he deserved to be punished, and that Jesus was innocent. And you know, we all must come to that place. And we can put up many arguments why we don't need to be saved. But you know, the solemn fact is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And this man came to that place where he recognized that. All right, maybe we weren't as bad as this man, but the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need to confess that sin unto the Lord. This man believed that there was an afterlife. How many deny that today? Some have the fond thought that you die like a dog and that's the end of it. It's not the end of it. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. But this man believed in the afterlife. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He recognized that the Lord was going to die, but that he was going to rise again. And he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Wonder, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of God? Do you believe that he died and that he rose again for the sins of many? You prepare tonight to trust him as your personal Savior. It's a personal matter tonight between you and God. But we need to come and confess our sin and repent. You know, I think this man had a lot of courage. Sometimes people try to make light of Christians. But there's nothing easy being a Christian. You ask the Christians that have been persecuted in the countries across our world tonight. You ask those who have been burnt at the stake and those who have been put to death for being a Christian. This man had courage, because there's nobody else asking for salvation. The priests and the rulers, they were mocking Christ. Notice what it says in verse 35, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be a Christ, the chosen of God." In verse 36, "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And the two thieves and those that were round the cross, and they were crying, "Away with this man. We will not have this man to rule over us." And isn't that the crux of the matter tonight? You see, when you come to Christ and trust him as your Savior, you come under new ownership. Before we're saved, we serve the devil. But when we come to Christ, we serve the Lord. But what a wonderful service it is to serve him. But he was courageous. The crowd was opposing him. The soldiers were laughing at him. The other thief was mocking him. But this man, he saw Christ for who he was. And he saw himself as God to see him. He was the guilty one. And he called upon the Lord for salvation. You know, so some don't want to trust in the Lord tonight because they're afraid of people. Afraid of what people will say. Young man going out with a young woman, perhaps. And the Lord begins to work in her heart and shows her a need of salvation. And she'd love to come to Christ. But you know, there's her boyfriend. And what will he say? If I come to Christ, I think that will be the end of the relationship. Or maybe there's a husband. And you'd love to come to Christ, but what your wife's going to say? You need to come to the Lord. And you know, the Lord has a wonderful way of working things out. And I can remember in Portavogie, and I remember one night and after the preaching of the word, a young man went home, was going home with his father-in-law, and he said to his father-in-law, "Would you take me back to the church?" He said, what for? He said, "I want to get saved." And the young man came back that night, made the joy of pointing to the Lord. And we went home, and there was great joy in our heart, and shortly after that, we got a telephone call, and it was the mother-in-law of this young man, and she said, "Mr. Harton, could you come up to the house?" I said, "Certainly." And I didn't know really what was the problem or the matter. And when I come in, this young man's wife, daughter of those that owned the house, and she was in tears, the tears were tripping her. And she said, "Mr. Harton, you don't know the number of times that I wanted to come to Christ, but I wanted to see Colin coming first." And with the joy of pointing her to the Lord also, you see. Who knows? You've heard the testimony of Roisin Somerville. The night she was praying for the Lord to come into her heart and save her, so was her husband, unknown to her. So who knows? But no matter who's putting off salvation, you need to be saved. And you need to come to Christ. And then you can leave the consequences with him. And then there's the amazing salvation. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save who? The righteous? No, because there is none. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And you see, the thing about this man, he began to realize his condition. One moment he was condemning the Lord Jesus Christ, "If thee be the Christ, come down and save us." But then something happened, and he had himself revealed to him. He saw himself as God to see him, just a sinner. And he saw Christ for who he was, the Savior. And you know, it's only those that really see themselves as God to see them. You and I can paint a pretty picture of ourselves to others. And you know, pen and paper will refuse nothing. But unless we come to that place and we see ourselves as God to see it, as sinners, and call upon him for salvation, we'll never be saved. Unless we see that we're lost, without Christ. You know, there's many people today and they don't go to the doctor, don't make an appointment. Why not? Well, they're not ill. Why should they go and make an appointment with the doctor? Well, they may well, very well, have something working in their body that would make them think, well, I need to go to the doctor, but they don't know it. But you see, once they know it, something's wrong. Something's not just right. They'll make an appointment to go into the doctor that he might diagnose their problem. And it's only those that really realize their condition before God that will call upon the Lord for salvation. But we can tell you tonight from God's word that we've all sinned. That is one thing that we all have in common. Whether it's the Queen on the throne of England or whether it's the prisoner in the prison house, we've all one thing in common. We're all sinners and we're all lost. And this man knew he was lost. And he turned to Christ and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And immediately Jesus gave him the answer. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, place of the blessed. There's an allusion here to the Garden of Eden. In Christ at death, believers have restored to them all that they lost in the first Adam and more. They have a heavenly paradise. And the thief said, Lord, remember me. And what he was saying really, Lord, have mercy upon me. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve to be in heaven. But Lord, I'm depending on your grace and on your mercy. I'm suing unto thee to have mercy upon me. And the Lord said immediately, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's interesting that the first man God made became a thief, for Adam took of the forbidden fruit and disobeyed God, and God cast him out of paradise. The last Adam, Christ, turned to a thief and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I can guarantee tonight, without a shadow of doubt, if you see yourself as God to see, if you realize that you're a sinner tonight, and you call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, the Lord will answer immediately. That's grace. That's mercy. You see, grace is God giving you and I, which we don't deserve. And none of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve salvation, because we're all sinners. And God had no need to send his Son into this world to die on the cross for our sins. He could have left us to wander in the darkness of our sin, and he would have been justified because we've all sinned, sinners by nature and sinners by practice. But God in his mercy provided the cross work of Calvary. That's God's love. Sometimes when some accident or some terrible thing happens in the land, people say, oh, where's the love of God now? I tell you where you'll see it most of all. You'll see it at Calvary. For there the Lord Jesus Christ was dying and paying the price for your sins and mine. He was suffering the justice of God that we might go free. The wrath of God upon our sins was laid upon him that we might go free. That's love. That's love in action. Oh, we hear people saying to someone, oh, I love you. And you know it's only from the lips. But love is an action word. And Jesus Christ proved his love by going to the cross for your sins and mine. God's mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. It doesn't matter who we are that are born in this world. Can be born into the most godly home, and you're a sinner, because that's what we are, sinners. And God's grace has not given us what we deserve, and that's to be in hell for all eternity. Now, I know many don't believe in hell. Well, you can ask the rich man tonight. He's been in it for 2,000 years, and he's still there, and he still hasn't got that drop of water to cool his tongue. It's still light of darkness, and there's still gnashing of teeth. But the Lord sent his Son into this world to die on the cross that we might be saved. And this man had the grace of God afforded unto him. You see, some people talk about earning God's salvation. Well, as far as paying money into the church or whatever, that's very good and that's what people ought to do. But this man was stripped naked. He was nailed to the cross. He had no money. And if salvation was by money, this man was definitely lost. He had none. And then some tells us that salvation is of works. I don't do this and I don't do that and I give into this charity and do that. All very good. But I tell you, friend, tonight, in the authority of God's word, it won't save your soul. For no man is saved by the works of the law. Because there's only one thing the law can do, and that's to condemn us. There's no grace in the law. But mercy is God not giving you what we deserve. This man couldn't work for salvation. How could he? He was nailed to the cross. He was expiring. In a few minutes, he was going to be in eternity. How could he work for his salvation? That was impossible. What about the person tonight that's handicapped? What about them tonight? If salvation is by works and they can't work? Ah, no. God's love is greater than that. For Paul said, God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Salvation is simple. It's wholly by grace, by God's favor and mercy. We simply receive it. This man simply received it. How did he receive it? He just took the Lord at his word. We don't hear of any other conversation. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the word came immediately. Today thou shalt will be with me in paradise. And we don't hear the thief saying, Lord, well, how do I know? He just took the Lord at his word. And the night I got saved, and the day that many in this meeting got saved, they just took God at his word. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. It was a faith. Lord, remember me. It was positive. It was sure. Because he had the word of God. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth that said unto him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. How do I know I'm saved tonight? Because I take God at his word. Him that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And 40 years ago and more, I called upon the name of the Lord, and I was knew I was saved. The night I come out of that home, that cottage meeting, I knew I was saved. The burden of my heart rolled away. It was personal. Jesus spoke to this man personal. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Nobody else. Around that cross, and there was a multitude of them, baying for the blood of Christ, condemning him, mocking him, laughing at him, scorning him. But when the thief sued for mercy, said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Personal. You personally tonight have to come to Christ. You personally have to trust in him as your Savior. It was present. Present salvation. The Lord didn't say, go home and think about it. He wasn't going home. He's going into eternity. And the Lord knew he had only minutes to live. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I couldn't say to you tonight to go home and think about it and come back next week. For number one, I'll not be here next week either way. And number two, you might not be here next week. You might not be living next week. We're not saying that to frighten anybody, but we all know accidents happen. Heart attack can come quickly. We don't know. And the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This man was an urgency. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus was just as urgent in his answer, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? two thieves on the cross and Jesus in the midst. He is identified with two thieves. He came to identify with sinners. Never became a sinner, but he came to seek and to save them. One of them trusted him. The other continued to mock him. One went to glory, and the other went to hell. They had the same opportunity. I often think of a meeting and people hear the same message. One responds positively, called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. The other goes out the way they come in. But salvation is personal. Many would say, well, I'd like to get saved, but, you know, like the thief on the cross, I'll wait to the last moment. The only problem with that is you don't know when your last moment will be. The last opportunity. And we have no reason to think that this man had his last opportunity, because he might never had another opportunity. Maybe this was his first opportunity. Maybe this was the first time that this man was convicted of a sin and he knew that Christ was the Savior. And he took the opportunity. People talk about a deathbed repentance. I think those are very few and far between. We need to call upon the name of the Lord now. We need to come now. And that man came just as he was. He was naked, he was stripped, he was crucified, he was beaten, but he just came as he was. He couldn't go anywhere to make himself better, because he never would be any better. He just came as he was. And that's how we need to come to Christ tonight, just as we are in all our sin. And you know, the wonderful thing about the gospel is this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I'm not interested tonight what your sin might be. It's none of my business. But I know tonight the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse from all sin. No matter what your sin might be tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse it. And we've God's word from that. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sins. We need to come just as we are. Lord, I'm a sinner. And I'm asking thee, Lord, to save me tonight by your precious blood. Or in the words of the publican who said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus said, that man went down to his home justified. One thief on the cross, Lord, remember me. That wasn't a big long prayer, sure it wasn't. It was just enough to call upon the Lord. And the Lord saved him. And you can know that salvation tonight by coming to Christ, by trusting him as your Savior. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We're just going to sing one verse of 227.